greet you in the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior, and who is now seated on the right hand of the throne of God and interceding on our behalf. Appreciated Josh's thoughts, and amen. We praise God this morning for an opportunity as this. I've never been into Penn Valley Retreat, and I have never spoken to an audience like this. But I stand before you this morning, I'm confident, very confident, that you understand that there is a God that is the creator of all things. And through him, we move and have our very being. I like to begin this way. My prayer is that God could put it this way. My prayer is that God would send a dew from heaven to rest upon us all. Wherever you find yourself in life, if you rise in the morning and you go outside and you walk in the grass and your shoes get wet, you know a dew has fallen. If you go out in the morning and you walk in the grass and the grass is dry, you know the wind was blowing all night long. There was a current. Can I suggest this morning, wherever you are, I'd like to suggest you calm the winds in your life, whatever they be, so together we can experience a dew from heaven. I know not what to share. And again, my prayer is that the Spirit of God through the dew could be upon us. The scripture on your pamphlet is, but who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? I think you know the story. I received this phone call Thursday morning from a Merlin Weaver, Indiana. Who's Merlin Weaver? He was experiencing the winds. He hadn't calmed the winds. He thought it's getting windy. He said, listen, I have a good friend that I called to see if can help me calm these winds. We need someone to have the message Sunday morning here at the Penn Valley Retreat, the physically challenged meeting. Oh. Would you be willing? Here we are. As I stated, I'm grateful for the opportunity. It's been a blessing to your servant to be here. So a scripture, when Merlin called, I'll be honest, as he explained what it is, this is what went through my mind. A few weeks ago, in our congregation there, Groffdale, Pennsylvania, we had a funeral of a 48-year-old girl, woman, that had what they call the pretzel syndrome. So we had part at that funeral. The family, just 13 months before that, before her passing, her mother had passed away. We had the message at that service. So for that, for this girl, 48-year-old, they gave me the passage for a text in John chapter 9. The brother yesterday morning opened the service and read a few verses out of John chapter 9. So I'm going to read a few verses, starting first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is not a new passage. And I'm not here this morning, I guess, to me, as I took this lesson and studied it for the message at this funeral, the Lord has drawn out, and I guess this morning I'm not focusing on whether you have your sight or not this morning. This is, again, God created all things, and I stand here as an untried man. But can we draw a few things out? Well, certainly we can. I'm going to read a little further. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and he came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, when they before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. He's now seeing. This man never saw a tree. Never saw a person. But let's go a little further. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto him, Go to the pool Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Right there, I'd like to stop for a bit. I'd like you just to put yourself in the setting. I don't know exactly what was all of Jesus' audience. But I like to think, I draw pictures in my mind, I like to think that Christ saw an opportunity here. Yes, he healed the man that was blind. He healed the man that had placed himself, because Scripture tells that he was also the man that begged. He needed a source of income for a livelihood of some sort. So what did he do? What do we do if we want to retail something? You want to make yourself, or if you have, depending on what you're selling, you want to place yourself where you have a large amount of exposure, right? I'm not a retail person, but I think if I have something I want to sell and I'm proud of the product I want to sell, I would place myself at a place where I know there's exposure. There's traffic of people. Man's making a livelihood. Christ found himself there. healed the man. He went to the Pool of Siloam. He understood what the Pool of Siloam was all about. We don't have time to get into that. He washed. He received sight. Let's move a little further and see what all takes place. They asked the question. This is verse 12. Then said they unto him. Not exactly sure again who all the they is. But I think this is where Christ wanted to go, to the they. And the man says, I went, washed, and received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. All he knows at this point, that the man that healed him, again, where he got that, I'm not exactly certain, but his name is Jesus, that he knew. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Why did he take him to the Pharisees? It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Here's a problem. The Sabbath day. And again, the Pharisees, verse 15, also asked him how he had received sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, and said some of the Pharisees, this is not a man of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? See the process. This point, this man, blind man, he knows he's Jesus. It was Jesus. And those with him are contemplating that this man's a sinner. Jesus had just previously told, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. He is a prophet. He's getting a little brave. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Now they don't believe the man was blind. They're contemplating, is this actually the man? Let me read further. And he received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, ye say, was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. That they know. So again, place yourself. I believe we're drawing an audience. There's a debate. There was a debate whether this man is actually the same one that was blind. There is an issue that this man that made him see did it on the Sabbath. Really is nothing. But we're getting to our point. By what means he seeth now, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. Did God want to work with the parents? I don't know where the parents stood at this point in their knowing who Christ was and that he is really from the Creator, from God the Father. I think they likewise are processing all this. They're watching what's taking place. And for whatever reason, it tells us in our scripture here that they feared the Jews. So they're going to be very cautious. Whoa, on how I speak. Concerning. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I like that statement. I think the blind man, at this point, now again, keep in mind, I don't want to take scriptures out of context. I'm drawing my own things. But he's likewise knows now that he was healed. He knows in his understanding, he's not telling the Jews or the Pharisees that again, or in other words, yes, he did. He said he's a prophet. But up to this point yet, he really does not know who Christ is or who Jesus is. Am I right? Then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Will ye also be his disciples? Then he reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. Here's another issue. But I'd like you to just take that and let's move along. There's But the Jews, verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind and received sight until they called his parents of him. Sorry, I'm in the wrong verse. Verse 29. Ye know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fella, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why there herein a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard of any man opening his eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, dost thou teach us? They cast him out. This was the synagogue. The man received his sight. He told them that he made a spittle of clay and put it on his eyes. And Christ had told him, go to the pool Siloam and wash. And he told them, I went, I washed, I received sight. I'd like to take that to us as sinners. They're right. We're born in the sinner as sinners. Have we went? Have we washed? And have we received the sight that God has for us? But he's becoming a believer, and they say, you're one of his disciples, and they cast them out. Now get this. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, I'm going to read it again. Thou wast altogether born in sin. Doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, doest thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he? Still didn't know who Christ is. He asked the question, who is he? Lord, that I might believe. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Can you imagine the blind man as he has sent? Said, I went, I washed, he received the sight. But, my dear people, Jesus heard that he was cast out, and he went and found him. Have you thanked the Lord this morning that Christ has found you, has found me? Christ went out and looked, and he found. And he said, Lord, I believed, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Do we see this morning? It's not whether we have our physical eyesight. but believing that God, through his love, his grace and mercy for humanity, has come and blessed us that we can be believers and worship him. Thank God. Thank God. And some Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we all blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. So they saw their sin, but no correction. Now I'd like to take you into the Old Testament of a man that we all know. I think the children heard about this man. Who was the man that was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep? And he saw this bush that was burning, but yet it wasn't consumed. Wasn't that Moses? Can you just follow through with me and draw pictures in your mind? That's how I do. He's out there and he sees the bush. He walks up to the bush and he hears a voice come out of the bush. You know the story. Told Moses to take off his shoes because the ground that he's walking on is holy. He speaks to Moses there and tells Moses that he sees the affliction of the children of Israel there in Egypt. And said he should go back and to bring them out. And Moses, no. And you know how Moses put his hand, it tells us, in his bosom, and it became leprous. God told him, put your hand back in again, and he did. And his flesh was like the other hand. Then the Lord presented a question to Moses and says, What is that in thine hand? Moses says, The rod. And the rod turned into a snake, a serpent. Moses let go. God told Moses to catch it by its tail. And he did, and it became his rod again. Moses had his rod in his hand. There's more. But we know the rod turned the water to blood. The rod brought the frogs, the locusts, the flies, the darkness that you could feel it. It parted the waters at the Red Sea. But did it? Did the rod part them? Did the rod do all those things that I just said? It wasn't the rod. It was God. It was God. What is that in thine hand? The rod. I don't know, but may I suggest that that rod that Moses had in his hand at the burning bush was nothing glamorous or spectacular at all. I don't know where Moses got that rod, and I would venture to guess that if that rod broke, that Moses could go out in the bush or the woods there and make himself another rod. He'd carve it out just exactly the way he wanted it, and he again had a rod. Nothing fancy. I would even maybe think that it It had a few knots in it. I don't know. But God needed that rod. What is that in thine hand? I told you earlier that I'm an untried man. But to my audience this morning, I would like to suggest that as I stand up here, I see many rods. The building's about full of rods that God wants to use in this work, that He wants to manifest. Are you, am I, willing to be that rod? It does not have to be anything spectacular. Moses said also, I'm not eloquent, made up various excuses. The rod. A purpose. And we see that Moses and Aaron used that rod, and God, through the children of Israel, did many works. I'm not saying this morning that it'll be many miracles. It's God's work. Another story that's in the Bible that I like is the woman that touched the hem of his garment. Now, again, I don't want to take things out of context. This is a little bit my own thinking. But I want you to ponder it. This woman knew she had something. She had desire for healing. And she felt if she just touches the hem of his garment. It seems to your servant that somehow she wanted to do this in, what's the word I want to use? In other words, she didn't want to make exposure. She wanted, and we see she comes from behind. She comes from behind and touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? In other words, it turns around and it brings her right out front. So God sometimes, to use his rod, needs to bring us, though we want to stand on the backside, brings us right out front. Now the whole, I don't know, that crowd, they all witness. Again, it's my thoughts. As God moves in our lives, and we praise God that opportunities that we can reach out to our fellow man, to us this morning, or to, I should say through this weekend, and experiencing this, who knoweth? So, as we look in what God has for his people, and as the blind man, he says, I went. Christ gave orders, said, go to the pool and wash. He washed and he saw. There's more could be extracted that from that, possibly. But as I look, as again, we know not who is also all in the presence where God was or Christ was touching the hearts of men. Doesn't need to be anything big. So may the Lord bless yous. May the Lord keep yous and strengthen us together, that someday, as we go through life and keep in mind that while we are here, our life is just a dash. It's just a dash, a short time. But his rod, we are his rod. So let's bow our heads for a time of prayer. Almighty eternal Father, we come before you this morning with hearts of gratitude. It is you that has kept us through the night and given us a new day and other opportunities. Father, as we set our earthly cares aside and recognize a day of rest, we also know that you created all things in 6 days. And the scripture clearly tells us that on the seventh day, you rested and you sanctified it. And Father, we do really believe with your almighty power that even by your spoken word in creating all these things, that possibly you were not exhausted, but you knew man. How you had created us from the dust of the earth and breathed us into our nostrils, and man became a living soul. So man, as we face things in life, yes, we do become exhausted. The body grows weary, but we come to you, and as you give us the new day, though we didn't see the sun this morning, but we know the sun rose and the darkness fled. So we come to you and we pour out our hearts to you. And grateful, Father, as we again go into the scriptures, knowing that you sent your Son into this world and has died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Your love for humanity. Father, we just realize, we help us, Father, to see that as we go through life, and if there were error, that we could have our eyes open and make correction, put our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, as we become to know and desire a relationship and to walk with you, Father, we know that we are bombarded on all sides with many distractions. Help us to keep the single eye and to serve you. We thank you, Father, for your plan of salvation, where Christ came into this world and has died on the cross, shed his blood, that we may have the remission of sins. Man is reconciled and brought back to you. And we thank you for this. Father, we thank you for the provisions that you have provided. You have granted us safety. And Father, as today, this meeting, this gathering comes to a close and we disperse and go to our respective home, Father, our prayer is that you would bless us with safety according to your will, because we know that safety comes from you. We thank you, Father, for being God to us. You have blessed us with food, shelter, and raiment. We have many things. Help us then that we would not have the leanness of soul, but that we set our affections on things above, knowing that this world is your earthly kingdom. Help us to set our affections on things above, the heavenly kingdom. Of ourselves, we're not able to think of one good thought, and therefore we commit it all to you. We pray for the government, the ruling powers that you have set into place, that thou would bless them in a special way. They're also there for our protection. And Father, we want to pray for all manner of mankind you would have us to pray for, wherever they find themselves in life. Help us to be the rods that you could use us and move us according to your perfect will. Father, we know that we're failing to think of many things, so we pray for those things that we have forgotten to pray for. And we want to pray the prayer that we have been taught to pray.